Welcome along to Summerlees. My name's David Lynch. I'm the pastor here at Summerlees. And it's great to have you with us today for one of our special Lord's Supper services. Now, they're a little bit different to what we normally do week in, week out. Normally, at this time, we have a full kids program. So all our kids go out to different kids ministries, and we have a sort of a longer sermon where, generally speaking, what we'll do is we'll work through different books of the Bible. So each week we work through a different chapter of whichever book we're doing, and at the moment we're doing Luke's Gospel. So if you're interested in Luke's Gospel, it would be great to have you back next week as we continue that series. But when we do the Lord's Supper, we do something a little bit different. One of the things we like to do is try and stay as much as a whole church as we can. And at Summerlees, we think of church primarily as a family. So for us, church isn't a business or a religious-y thing. It's a family, and families are made up of people from all different ages. And so we like to express that by trying to keep as many of the kids in as we can. And to do that, I try and do the talk a little bit differently. I try to make it a bit shorter, and we have lots of songs in between it, and I try to be as interesting to as many different people as possible. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Can get a bit crazy, but anyway, bear with me. And the other thing that we do is, rather than doing our normal series, we actually zero in and we think about the cross of Jesus. And what we do is we think about a different thing to do with the cross of Jesus each time. So one of the great things about Jesus' death on the cross is that actually it's simple enough that you can explain it quickly and easily, and almost anyone can understand it, which is great. But at exactly the same time, it is also so deep and amazing and wonderful and does so many different things that you could just give hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons over to it and still have lots to say about it. And so what we do in these services is we look at the cross, and each time we take one different thing about the cross, one different thing that Jesus' death does for us, and we spend a lot of time thinking about that and concentrating on that and trying to understand that. So that's what we do. It's a little bit different. Let me pray for us as we begin, and then we'll focus in on Jesus' death. And then at the end of the service, it all sort of climaxes us with us taking the Lord's Supper together. So more of that later. But for now, let's pray and ask for God to help us. Father God, we really do thank you for the fact that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us in our place, to take our sin, that we can even be sitting here together. We know that the only reason we're your church, that we're your family, that we can call on you as Father is because of what he's achieved for us in his death. And so we pray now that as we think about what he's done for us on the cross, that you would help us. Please help us to listen. Help us to concentrate. And we pray particularly for some of the younger people that are with us today who are normally at some of these kids. Please help them to understand and listen as well. But we know that this isn't just like a school lesson. It's not just about listening and understanding. It's about believing. It's about you strengthening our faith. And it's about you changing our lives. And so we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would do those things in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I wanted to kick off today by speaking a little bit about explorers, all right? Explorers are very interesting people, and in history, there have been lots of different explorers, and some have been very, very famous. So one of them is this guy, and they all look a bit funny because a lot of them are very old people. They're all dead now, most of these guys, but this person is called Marco Polo. Many of you probably know his name just from playing a game in a swimming pool, but actually he's an explorer, a very famous explorer. And this guy, he was one of the first European people, he's from Italy originally, to actually go and explore Asia. Yeah, so he was one of the first people from Europe to go in and find out what China's like. Okay, and it's hard to believe, but back in the 1300s, people in Europe, they didn't really know what China was like. Most of us know people who have come from China or have got friends that have been from China. Lots of us have probably been to China or Asia or Thailand, all those kinds of places. But back then, no one had, until this guy went and he explored it, and then he told other people back in Italy and England and other places like that in Europe what Asia was all like. Or here's a man called Christopher Columbus. And he was the first person from Europe to go and explore what America was like. Okay, now again, that's a very famous place now, but all the way back in the 1400s and 1500s, people didn't really know about it in Europe. So he jumped on his boats and he went over there and he found out all about that. Here's another one. This guy's a bit more important for us. That's Abel Tasman. Okay, and Abel Tasman, he came from the Netherlands, as a lot of people have family here from the Netherlands. Back in the 1600s, he was one of the first people in Europe to find out what Tasmania was like. In fact, that's where Tasmania got its name, Abel Tasman, and we live in Tasmania. Yeah? So there you go. So that's him. He also was the first European to find New Zealand as well, for those of you that like New Zealand. Okay, another one. You may have seen pictures of this guy. He's on our $100 bill. This is Mawson, Douglas Mawson. And I think he was the first person, full stop, European or otherwise, to go all the way to the South Pole down in Antarctica. And so these are all famous guys. But now, people have been pretty much everywhere on the planet. So in the 1960s, we started sending people out of the planet to other places. And this guy came along. That's Neil Armstrong. He went to the moon, first person to explore the moon. And in case you're feeling that this is all just a bit boring and a bit much like being at school, which I can understand, it might feel a bit like a history lesson, there's this explorer, Dora the Explorer, who I actually don't know anything about at all. So if you watch Dora the Explorer, maybe you could come and tell me later and say, hey, I watched Dora the Explorer, and you can tell me about what she explores. I gather she explores stuff, but where, I wouldn't have a clue. There she is. Explorers, pretty special. I think the reason we like explorers so much is because they can tell us about places that we've never been to before. Okay, so if you don't know about a place, then you can send an explorer. They can go on their boat or their plane or walk or a spaceship even to the moon or whatever, and they'll find out about it for you. And explorers are particularly helpful if they've been somewhere where you want to go. Okay, so let's just say you're planning on a really exotic holiday to Burnie, for example, and you want to know what Burnie's like. Well, if you know someone that's explored it before, that's been there before, you can talk to them about it, and then they can tell you all about what it's like, which is great. If you're going to go somewhere, you know you're going somewhere, then if someone's explored it first, that's super-duper helpful, isn't it? But here's the thing. Despite the fact that we've pretty much explored this whole planet, and despite the fact that we're now exploring outer space, there is one thing that we haven't been able to explore very well, and that one thing is death. Okay. Now, plenty of people have been there, lots of people have died, it's been happening ever since humanity started, but despite the fact that lots of people have been there, no one's come back to tell us what it's like. And I think that's a bit of a problem for us as humans, because sooner or later we all know we're going there, don't we? Everyone has to die sooner or later. It's something that everybody has to face, but because we don't know about what's going to happen when that happens, we're unsure about it. And lots of us are very scared about it. We're frightened of it. And so you'll get people trying to work out, and a lot of people have guesses, don't they? Some people say, well, you just sort of stop existing. That's it. It's just, there's just nothing. Just suddenly you'll stop thinking, you'll stop seeing, you'll stop hearing, and that'll be the end of you. Still other people say, well, actually, you know what happens? You'll come back as something else. Yeah. So if you've been a really good person, you'll come back as a really rich, strong, good-looking person. You know, but if you had a bad life, then you might come back as a slug or something like that, or a snail, or a flea or something. Yeah. So people have lots of guesses. But how can we actually know? Well, this is the thing that makes the Bible very, very good news for us, because the Bible actually tells us what happens to you straight after you die. Isn't that amazing? The Bible actually tells you that. And you know what? You can believe what the Bible says about that, because the Bible introduces you to somebody who has power over death. And that person is the Lord Jesus. Because he's the one person that did die, but didn't stay dead. He came back, which shows you that he has power over death. It shows us that he's someone you can trust when it comes to this topic. He knows all about it. Death was unable to hold him down, which makes him the best person you could ever listen to about this whole subject of what happens straight away when you die. Okay? So what does he say happens? Well, we're actually going to look at that in a moment. But I thought before we do that, we might sing another song. So I'm going to get the musicians to come back up. And this is going to give you younger guys a bit of a chance to move around and have a wriggle and make some noise. So I want to hear lots of really loud singing and moving around and all that kind of stuff. You've been doing a very good job listening, by the way, so that's excellent. But here's a chance, stand up, have a move around, have a big sing. And then I'm going to come back up after this song and I'm going to tell you about what Jesus has to say on this topic. Okay, so before our song, we were thinking about explorers, and we looked at lots of different explorers, and we saw that actually human people have done a very good job of exploring the world, and we're even sending people out to space now, and we're doing all that kind of stuff. But I also said that there's one thing that we haven't been able to explore very successfully, and that is death. And that's a problem for us because we all know we're going there. We all know it's a journey we've got to make. And lots of people have done it, but we haven't really had anyone come back and tell us what it's like and what happens. But then I said that we actually do have someone who's very qualified to tell us about it, and that person is Jesus, because Jesus has proved that he has power over death. Because not only did he die himself, but he also came back from it. So what does he have to tell us about what happens to us when we die? Well, I reckon one of the best places to look, actually, is Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to read a bit of it to you. In fact, I've got it here on the board, so if you can read, you can read along with me. This is Luke chapter 23, and we're starting at verse 39. And it's talking about when Jesus was on the cross, okay, and he's got these criminals that have been crucified with him. And this is what it says. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Well, save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him and said, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, and this is the bit I want you to look at. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And now that's that last line that I think is really interesting, because what you see there is that this thief who's been crucified with Jesus, he's clicked. He knows that Jesus is his Lord and Saviour, and he's right at the very end of his life. He doesn't have a lot of time to get to know Jesus. He certainly hasn't took any time to do anything for Jesus. He can't serve Jesus in any way, shape or form. But he does know that he needs to put his faith in Jesus. He wants Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. And look at what Jesus says. He says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. See, at Summerlees, we talk a lot about the time when Jesus will come back. That's something we talk a lot about in this church. It's a great thing to talk about, really, because at that wonderful time, he's going to come back and he's going to raise up our bodies. Even those who have died, they're going to be raised up. They're going to be transformed into perfect bodies. And we talk about how he's going to renew the whole world, and we're going to let to live these wonderful lives with Jesus. And we talk about that a lot because that's God's ultimate purpose for us. And it's a wonderful thing to look forward to. But it leaves you asking the question, what about people like this thief who have died long before that time? Long before the time when Jesus comes back? Because lots of Christians have. And it still might be a long time before he comes back. In fact, there's a good chance that we'll all be dead long before when Jesus comes back. So what's going to happen to us? Are we going to be like Sleeping Beauty? Yeah. Anyone want to be like Sleeping Beauty? Yeah, at least Isaac does, that's nice. It'd be like Sleeping Beauty. I mean, most people have probably heard that story. I think she slept for 100 years. Is it 100 years? Probably changes a little bit depending on whether you watch the Disney version or read the original version or whatever. But a long time. She slept for a very long time. And some people think, well, is that what happens to Christians? Do we just kind of go to sleep until Jesus comes back? And will we just sort of be lying there like we're asleep for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of years before he comes back? And there's good reason for you to think that, because if you were here the last Lord's Supper service that we had, we looked at how the New Testament does speak about Christians dying as like Christians going to sleep. That's something that we looked at. And the New Testament does use that language. Just as your body goes to sleep at night time, but then gets up again the next day, well, so too does the Christian's body get up again when Jesus comes back. So should we just be thinking about our deaths as just a really, really long sleep, like Sleeping Beauty? Well, as far as our bodies are concerned, that is actually what happens. They're not going to get up again until Jesus comes back. But as important as our bodies are, we're actually more than just bodies. Did you know that? You're more than just your body. The Bible actually talks about us as having souls. And it seems that our souls, they think and they feel and they know stuff and they experience stuff and they see stuff. And if a Christian dies before Jesus comes back, whilst their body might go to sleep, it will wake up again one day, by the way, but whilst it goes to sleep, their soul stays awake and it seems to have a very good time indeed. You see it in the words of Jesus, don't you? He says to the thief that he will be with him in paradise. Now, paradise is a word for a really amazing, wonderful, fun, excellent place. So he knows that he and the thief will die that day on their crosses. But don't worry, says Jesus, because we're going to paradise today. We're going to paradise. Now, there's lots of other places in the Bible that speak like this. And I think one of the most helpful ones is in Philippians. It's in chapter 1. I'm putting that on the board as well, verses 21 to 23. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For me to live is Christ, but look at this next bit, and to die is gain." Not many people say that, do they? But that's what he says. He says, "If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? Because I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Now, I think there's a couple of things to look at there. I think, first of all, you can see that the better thing is actually to depart from the body and go and be with Jesus. Paul says it's better by far, in fact. It doesn't sound like going to sleep for 1,000 years, does it? Now, he talks about it as going to be with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, he says he would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And when you think about that, well, that's kind of easy to understand, isn't it? Because these bodies that we have now, well, they get sick and they get hurt. And the older you get, the more they start to break down and things go wrong with them. And this world, it's a pretty tough place to live. Now, obviously, having a resurrection body, that's the best thing. And that's what you'll get in the end. But while we're waiting, getting out of this body and being with Jesus, like the thief on the cross and like the Apostle Paul, well, that's the better thing, says Paul. Not the best. The resurrection body is the best thing. But it's better than living in this poor, broken old body in this poor, broken old world. When the Christian dies, we can confidently say they have gone to a better place. Now, people say that a lot, don't they, when people die? Well, as a Christian, you can say it and you can really mean it because they have. And I think that's a wonderful thing to know. Jesus died on the cross for you so that you can be with him straight away in paradise after you die. And I think that's a wonderfully comforting thing. Wonderfully comforting. But there is one other thing I think we should look at in Philippians 1, because whilst Paul says that it's better to be with Christ than away from the body, in verse 24, he ultimately decides that he doesn't want to go and be with Jesus just yet. And you think, well, why is that? If it's so much better, why does he want to stay here? Well, you see it in verse 22. Look at verse 22 up on the screen. Yeah. He says there's fruitful labour for him to do here. Yeah. God's got important things for him to do. And so he knows he needs to stick around and do those things. God's got a plan for his life. He has things for him to do. Now, when he's done them all, that's when God goes, okay, time to go home now. You can go and be with Jesus and that'll be better by far. Yeah. But until then, says God, Paul, you've got important things I need you to do, so you need to stick around. You need to keep going here. And what I want to show you is actually that's true for all of you. That's important for all of you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are God's handiwork. I don't know if I've got it there. Yeah, I do have it there. Look at that. It says that we, all of us, this is writing to all Christians, we are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God's got a plan for all of us. There's fruitful labour for all of us. He wants to use your life. And you might say, well, my life isn't very special. What good am I? Yeah. What possible good has God got to do with me? I don't do anything special. Yeah, and I know some people here have got very hard lives. And I know that for some people here, life is a painful thing and it's a tough thing. And some of you might think that you're no good and that you're useless. But you're not. Maybe you think to yourself, oh, everyone would just be better off if I wasn't here. But listen to me very carefully. That's not true. Yeah, that's a filthy lie of the devil. And he always lies. He's very good at lying, but it's not true. It's a load of rubbish. God is using you, even in your brokenness. And you might not be able to see how, but he is. His word is 100% truth, and Ephesians 2 says that you've got important work to do, stuff that he's prepared in advance for you. And so that means, even though in some ways it's better by far to go and be with Jesus, you, like the Apostle Paul, need to keep going until you're finished, and then you get to go and be with Jesus. It's great stuff, really, isn't it? Because as a Christian, you kind of can't lose, can you? You keep living this life in the body where you know you're doing amazing, significant work for the Lord. Even if you can't see it. Even if you don't get how your life is significant and has value, you just know you are. And when it comes time to leave the body and this broken world, straight away, seamlessly, you get to be with Jesus in paradise. Now, I think that's pretty good news, don't you? Good news. So let's pray. Let's thank God for that good news. And then we're going to spend some time singing and just celebrating this wonderful truth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we are so much more than just compost. Thank you that we are more than just these frail, weak bodies that get sick and break down and are just going to kind of get eaten by worms one day. Thank you that the death of these bodies is not the end of us, but that we will immediately be with Jesus in paradise, and that that will be so much better than these earthly lives we live now. But we also thank you that you have given our earthly lives wonderful meaning and purpose. Thank you that you have prepared in advance good works for all of us to do, and that means that every single life in this building is important and special and unique and valuable and matters very much. And Father, we pray for those of us who doubt this. You know who we are. You know what it's like for people that are thinking that way. You get the fears, you get the worries. Please, Lord, would you help those who think that they don't matter, who think that the world would be better without them? Would you show them how precious they are in your sight? And would you convict them that their lives are meaningful and are important, even if they can't see that yet? And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.